Well, it's a real privilege to be here tonight. I'm glad to be here. You can be seated. First time we've ever been in the armory here. We sometimes minister in an armory or things like this, but first time I've been in this one here in Boone's, and it's a real privilege to be here, and I think it's the second time that we've been in Boone's. We had a real good time last time, wonderful turnout of people, and the Lord really blessed us. So we're here tonight to worship the Lord, to talk about Jesus and the wonderful things of God. You know, the world is so carried away, that is the people of the world, so carried away with the things of the world, they don't have any time for the Lord Jesus. When I say that, maybe that sounds a little bit besetting, but they do have plenty of time for religion, but not Jesus. Someone would say, you know, Brother Pike, I think that the whole world is far for Jesus. But I'm telling you, you're so mistaken. We preached around the world, and you're so mistaken. They're on fire, right, for the things of the world. And they are very religious everywhere you go. They're extremely religious. But to know anything about Christ and the real God of heaven, they don't know very much about Him. They haven't grown very much in His knowledge, in His understanding, in His way. They haven't developed His characteristics of life very much in their life. There's not been very much conformity. But they are fully alert in the natural. They are fully aware of everything that there is in the world, from politics to sports to wealth or whatever it might afford as in the world. They are up to date on those things. But folks, that's not the way to be. That's not the way to be. I know that when we think about living, we've got a lot of living to do. And if we think about life, things of life, we just feel like we have so much living to do. But in the day we're living in, we're beginning to enter into what they call, the Bible refers to as the beginning of sorrows. Sorrows everywhere around the world. Devastation everywhere. Little ones being ravished, people being murdered. We just had a great crusade down in Egypt, but down in Cairo, where multiplied hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people poured out to the meeting. And then I told my wife, I said, Betty, you know, I can't say this freely to the people because they were such precious people. They responded so beautiful and so greatly. So many multiplied people till the building was filled up and people were all outside. But I said, even though I cannot say this to them, I said, when we leave from here, a great devastation is headed to Egypt. Great things is going to happen as to a calamity. And I said, you can't hardly express that to the people without getting them paranoid or frustrated. And sure enough, after we left, this thing hit. Whereas the judgments of the Lord are striking around the world. We had the same thing to happen when we left the islands. I told Betty, I said, as to Hawaii, Betty, I said, I told this time, I did tell the people. And I told my wife, I said, there's a calamity coming, whereas it's very rare for them ever to have anything like this particular thing that took place as to the cyclone that swept through there. But a short while after we was there, it struck. We were also in the islands of the Bahamas. I told the people the same thing, and shortly after we come out of there, it struck. And the same way in the other areas of the different parts of the world that we've been, one great calamity after another. And it indicates that something is happening. It made the statement that in as much as America is considered to be the new world, that people fleeing from the old world had come here to find freedom of worship and to get into a place to where they could worship and love the Lord Jesus. And that was wonderful. And we had great leaders like Washington and Lincoln and those men that love God, that worship God, that through that and through the people as to whom they indoctrinated, it brought us a grand, glorious nation, the greatest nation on earth, and one of the most beloved nations. And that there was a light for people for many years. It was such a beautiful light. even traveling into the four countries, it was such a beautiful night. But I noticed when I travel into the four countries, it isn't so anymore. And America turned from the wonderful love of God and the wonderful ways of righteousness and went after the things of the world. As the Bible said, all of the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. Reminding the Jews that salvation is to the origin is really of the Jews. Whereas we've been in the Holy Land a number of times and purchased a place there inside the old walls. But, you know, it's not that way around the world. It's the way that they've been indoctrinated now. The world now doesn't look at America as the great, beautiful America. As a matter of fact, we'd made the statement that America would fall because the Bible said, righteousness, this exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And because America has turned away from God and left God in such a great way, and yet being so religious in all phases of religion, still having forsaken God. The Bible speaks of the last days as being the layout of sin, lukewarm people, neither hot nor cold, saying, I would that you were hot or cold, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. So speaking to these people, it's become a religious thing here in America and around the world, and America is trying to mix everything that's in the world with religion, and you can't mix darkness and light. It's two different worlds, it's two different people, it's two different things altogether. And the Bible said as to them that's in the world and in those things of the world that are unlike Christ, it says, come out from among them and be a separate people. And touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So, it is leaving a bad taste in the people's mouth. And we had made the statement that America had been so great, she would never fall until the church was sealed in. That she'd never lose a battle until the church was sealed in. And now the church is being sealed in and right at the closing of the door to the Gentiles. And I made the statement here. A few months back, I said, America will start falling now. And all of a sudden, she fell to third place among the nations. And then we got a report, was 13th place, as Mr. Clinton, I believe, was, made the statement. So now she is falling. She's falling to the extent that Mr. Bush going over to Japan, asking for aid for America, caused the Japanese people to feel sorry for us, and they made the statement, said, we feel sorry for America. The great, mighty America, the great, wonderful government that has ruled the world and caught the attention of all people, and all of a sudden she's becoming second and third place and dropping right on down. Why is that? Because righteousness exalteth a nation, and she was a great light for God, and as long as she was a great light for God, God gave her the desires of her heart. Give her everything that she could want. And then all of a sudden, when she got more interested in the tangible side of life and that which is in the world than she did the spiritual side of life, then she began to fall. So we know that everything is at the closing of the door. It indicates that the church is now ready to go out, that it's being sealed in, and it's now ready to go out. And the whole world is religious as they can be and still haven't received the infilling of the Spirit. Learning great, mighty knowledge, great, mighty things as to understanding of natural things, scientists, falsely so-called, Paul said. But the great knowledge of the world is the old tree of knowledge. And people are brilliant. Education is on the rise. Everything seems so great and everything seems so mighty. Modern inventions, everything coming to a perfection in the world. And it looks like it's just now time to live and have peace. And sure enough, it's going to come around to where they'll start talking about a peace treaty, bringing everything together in a confederation of nations. And the Bible says, when they cry peace, then sudden destruction as a woman in travail with child. We know that the closing of the door of the Gentile is here. We know the church is about ready to go out. And as I stand here tonight, you know, it's hard or an individual that's a preacher. He comes into a town or a place, and sometimes he's among strangers, sometimes he's not. But it's hard for him to be able to express to the audience what he hath seen, what he hath acquainted with in the spiritual world, what he understands, because the world is full of know-alls anyway as to what people think. And anybody that you talk to understands and knows. They know about religion, they know about science, they know about everything. It don't matter what you want to talk about, they'll tell you right quick they know. And so everybody feels that everybody else is a know-all to that extent. You know, and you really got to prove to them that you do have something or that you are something in the field of activity that you're in before you can really get their attention. And that makes it very difficult, especially as to an evangelist that comes in for a day or two and then he's gone. Like communicating with my wife today, coming up here. We left this morning driving up and the Lord began to speak. And for more than 5 solid hours, he continually spoke to my companion. Why? Well, it's not unusual for him to speak through us for a good 5 hours or more. Many, many times he does this. But to her, it was a little unusual that long. And it had a very great significance. People who are not spiritual, they don't understand spiritual things, it would be very difficult to explain that unless it took several hours. But being spiritual, Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Many things I have to say to you, Jesus said, but you're dull of hearing. So in speaking to her, it had great spiritual significance. Even our coming to Boone has great spiritual significance. Like Paul said, I went up to Jerusalem to confer with Peter by revelation. And following the revelation of the Lord, in that the Bible teaches that the steps of a righteous man or woman is ordered by the Lord, then we're here at Boone for a purpose. Not just another meeting, even though we're glad to be here. I'm an evangelist, so I like to preach to people and like to see people converted to the Lord. I like to see people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But folks, I can tell you before the living God, my conscience bearing witness in the great loving Holy Spirit, that the church world is so little, even their ministers, as to the spiritual world and the spiritual things, till it's absolutely pathetic to think that we've had so many multiplied years as to understand and to come to God, and we know so much in every field of activity, whether it's the field of electronics or whatever it might be, and yet we know so little about religion. And even the ministry that you communicate with, there are many of them that are confident that they are like a towering building, that they're so learned in the Bible. And some of them can even quote passage after passage after passage of the Bible. I have a friend, they call him the Walking Bible. He's a Baptist brother, a Baptist minister. And he is unreal, that's to quote in the scripture. But when it comes to reality, when it comes to really knowing God, when it comes to understanding the spirit world and the things that's in the spirit world, I'm absolutely confounded as I communicate with them to see the level that they are living on as to the things that they really don't understand, and yet they're so great in leading thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, trying to lead them into the kingdom, and they are telling them about Jesus. And as Paul said, irregardless to whatever might come or go, you know, when they talk about the Bible, he said, whatever their motives are, whatever their purposes are, I hear and rejoice because the gospel is being preached as to the word of the Lord. So we're thankful for that a person should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the simplicity of the gospel and find Christ and find his spirit. But you know, it's more to it than that. Paul said, I travail to Christ be formed within you. I was born into this world a little babe. And there was more to it than just being born into this world. It took quite a few years of developing it. It took quite a few years of trying to study and understand to get everything together, to know who I was and what I was and who I belonged to and what my purpose in life was. Well, some people go through life and never learn that. Every person is born for a purpose. That's the way it is with the church world. Growing so little, year after year, and so much in the natural. Anyway, here in the book of Romans, we're told in the first verse here that we're reading from, it tells us that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, right there, I just want to comment just a little bit tonight. Now, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Right there. It's a real simple kind of approach tonight. And we could get into the deep mysteries of God. Paul spoke of the mysteries of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. And I am made a steward of those mysteries. And God has endowed me through His own merits, not of anything that I've done. Everything that we get that comes from God is not something that we do. It's just something that He does. And I've not merited anything, but He hath given me the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the same thing that He gave Paul. And to be honest with you, as I told our audience before, I never knew there was such thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. All I knew was that I was called into the ministry and I had to preach the gospel and I prayed and I fasted and I wept before God and I traveled all across the nation telling what I understood and preaching the gospel and seeing people converted to the Lord. And we've been preached to them by radio, by television, satellite, by tent ministers, auditoriums, open-air crusades, whatever. See, and I told them about Jesus, and we prayed for the sick, and God is healed. But I still didn't know there was a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which belongs to the church. You know, folks, just talking to you on this first night here, did you know it's hard to believe that people have not come to the revelation. And yet this revelation is for the church. And the Bible teaching that we should pray for the spirit of revelation. One spirit, many operations. And it's hard to believe. But yet on the other hand, knowing that the people have been detoured by Lucifer and the carnal mind, which is enmity with God, then knowing this, it's very obvious that Satan has hindered them to protect his kingdom and that he is the god of this world. A lot of people don't even know that Satan is the god of this world. See Satan being the god of this world and saving the things that be of the flesh, then the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subjected to God, neither indeed can be. It is as to the creature, the beastly part of man, that fleshly part of man. Satan saves that. He's got control of that. He takes the children of this world into captivity. It's his will. And he just moves them around like chess on a board. See, and they don't understand. They don't know. All they do is what they think and what comes to their mind or whatever their desire is. That's what they do. And they feel like, well, that's life. And it is life. It's a form of life. But then there is something where the Bible speaks of having your footsteps ordered by God and walking in the Spirit, not living in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Now, if I live in the flesh, I do the things of the flesh. And the Bible said, they that are in the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. That is, if they're in the flesh, they've got their minds on the things of the flesh. They've got their mind on houses and lands and cars and all kinds of different things, visiting and talking and laughing and enjoying life, eating and drinking, whatever it affords. But a person that has their mind on Christ, if they are of the spirit world and they're born for that eternal life and that eternal world and the eternal God that made all of these things before it become perverted as to Satan doing his thing to bring about the fantasism of the world of today. See, that God, if you're in the spirit and you belong to him, then you do mind the things of the spirit. Whereas the Bible tells us that we should meditate in the laws day and night. That is the laws of God. And that we should conform to the way of the Lord. And that we should acknowledge Him in all of our ways, that He might direct our path. See, and when we think of this, this is so foreign to us as individuals. I know because I've been out in that field of activity. I've been on that side of the bridge. And I know exactly how foreign this is to a human mind and how unreal this is, you know, to think that God would expect us to meditate in His laws day and night. But I never realized, as in that field of activity and that understanding and that mind, how awesome it is to even be like that and to think like that. And yet to us, it's just everyday living. But it is a terrible complex of situation that you are imprisoned by and you don't know it. You ever heard the little saying that somebody does something to you, make you like it? The devil has done something to the world and he's made them like it. And they are literally swallowed up with the things of this world. So they don't realize it, but death is right around the corner. They act as though they never expect to die, like death never crosses their mind. And yet millions are dying every day, every minute, every hour, They're dropping out of all ages, just like that. Young and old alike. And the people, they are so blinded, they're so carried away in their retirements of life, in their enthusiasm toward things of the life, and their gullible desire as to passions and desires, to human appetite, being in bondage as to the human senses, which relates to this world. See, they are so carried away with that until they don't even know anything's going on. And to them, everything is fine. Everything is intact. Nothing to worry about. God's got everything under control. And everything's just fine. And yet they don't consider death. They really don't think about death. They see so much fanaticism on television as to being killed. And Satan has just kind of rocked them to sleep in their mind as to people being killed. And yet they're alive in the next movie, you know. And death doesn't seem like much. But folks, I'm telling you, when the grim reaper comes, and when he reaches out and you begin to feel him as he chokes the life out of you and the breath of life is gone, then all of these things that seems to be so great and mighty and important, it will look like nothing. And all of this false prestige, all this self-esteem, all of this exuberance as to your human form, as to faces or whatever it might be, of the human image, it won't mean anything at all to you. And there you'll be to face God and to face eternity. So, it's as a minister, I know this because I go around the world preaching to people. I see them die. I've held their hands when they were passing over. I had a man just call me just a few days ago from over in Tennessee. He was dying. Been around him, preached to him. I've seen him do things for God. And I knew in my heart the Lord was wanting him to do many things that he did not do. But he seemed healthy. He seemed well. All of a sudden, I get the call and he's dying. And he says to me, he says, Brother Pike, he said, I feel that I've not done for God what I should have done. He said, I wished I had another chance. You know what, folks? This is the way it is. When you come down to that, then you wish that you'd had another chance because you do things so different, but you don't get another chance. And when you grow old and your youth is gone and your life is gone and you think of, my God, what a great opportunity I had to do something for God and to be a light, to remember my Creator, as the Bible tells us, to remember the Creator in the days of our youth. Before the evil days draw nigh, which is the reaping. Right now you're in the sowing. When you're youthful stages, you're in the sowing. But there's going to come a reaping. And when that day of reaping comes, you're going to reap everything that you sowed. Not one thing that you sowed, but what you will reap. This is one thing that we need to seriously consider. See, we're going to reap what we sow. Now, I'm a minister. I've been ministering for numbers of years. And I've ministered to all kinds of people, from Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all kinds of people in all kinds of churches. But here's the thing. You know, when we think about this, we think, well, that's fine. You know, we understand. But we really don't understand. See, when we say that we're going to reap what we sow, someone would say, well, not really, but yes, really. Really, you're going to reap what you sow. Everything that you have ever done in your entire life, the Bible said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, whether good or bad. Even as a little child, you start sowing. And there is a scripture that God gives us. And the word of the Lord comes to us. And the word of the Lord says, and the first commandment with promise is this. Children, obey your parents that your life might be long upon the earth that he giveth unto thee. See, this scripture says, and this is a promise. This is a scripture. This is a commandment of God that children should obey their parents. And if you do, this commandment has promise with it. And it's the first commandment with promise. And the promise is that I will make your life long upon the earth that the Lord God gives you. So you start sowing and you start reaping, even as in your youth. And today, with the wild generation of today, then it's going to be short-lived as to life. Death, by all the turbulence of weather, death, by all the dreadful diseases of life. Physicians can't do anything about it. The healing medicines is about gone. I made the statement not too long ago. I said, we're almost now to the place to fulfill that the Bible speaks of, as in that day there'll be no healing medicines. In that, the Bible teaches a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, which means a medicine does good, and this comes from God. But he said, in that day, there'll be no healing medicines. Why? Because the church will be gone out, and the world cannot reflect their light. And folks, I know this sounds foreign to you, but irregardless to how much you got in the colleges and the schools, as to the knowledge, as to professors, or whatever, it doesn't matter what we've communed with them on every level of life. See, it don't matter who you've got. When the church goes out, the light and understanding of God goes out. And when it goes out, there is no brilliance in the earth that can perfect even one tiny little pill that will do you any good. Because healing comes from God. And the medical means of stabilization to life comes from God. And when the church goes out, then these that are in the world are but reflectors. And they've only reflected the understanding of the children of God. And when the children of God go out, the Bible said that these people would be in total eclipse as to darkness, intellectual darkness, and said they'll gnaw their tongues for pain and they can't get out of their misery, and said there'll be no healing medicines. And he said to you and I, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape these things that's coming on the earth. These terrible things as to the tribulation period. I wish like tonight I had 5 hours to talk to you about the wonderful, deep, hidden mysteries of God. To bring it out, Paul said, I'm a steward of those mysteries. To bring it out to where you could see the hour in which you live or the day in which you live and know for sure that these things are absolute and that these things are precision as to this very moment that we're in right now and is what we're doing here at Boone's. Like Betty and I, we were in the thing as Desert Storm over in the Holy Land there inside the old walls doing the turbulence that was there like a nightmare. Missiles whistling through the air and these kind of things. But you know, it was a beautiful experience to the extent of the testing of your faith. And my wife, she got a little bit moved there with me while we were over there. I was there in our room, and of course, every time the alarm sounds, you know you have to take shelter and go wherever. And I said, Betty, there ain't no need for that. We've got faith in God. Why do we have to do that? And Betty, for a moment, she thought I slept out of my mind. And when they sound for the gas and all this and grab your gas mask, I said, there ain't no need for that. The Lord will take care of us. Well, as a consequence of that, he did all the way through. No problem. We didn't run to the safeties. We didn't do nothing. We just trusted God, loved the Lord, and rejoiced through the whole thing. See, that is to say, we are coming to a tribulation period. They were undergoing a tribulation time, a sad time, and Mr. Bush stood in for them. And the people were very grateful. I remember one young fellow fixing to go into the service there. He said, you don't know how much it means to us as to what the American soldiers did for us, knowing that they were going out there dying and leaving us at home and forbidding us to go out to the field to keep down the turbulence among the nations, of course. Mr. Bush, knowing that the nations wanted to attack Israel anyway. But the thing is, I said all of that to say this, what a peace, what a joy, what a greatness of tranquility that we have when we have Jesus. See, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, laboring as through the week that we might receive accordingly and reap what we have sown. When we sow peace, the children of God are peacemakers. And when we sow peace, and when we sow righteousness, we have a great nation. When we have righteousness, righteousness exalteth our nation. Because we love the Lord, so he exalts us to the very top, to where all the world can see Christ through us. And Jesus said, I am the Prince of life. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. And his desire is to enter into your heart by faith as you call upon his name. Because the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so then we know that we can call on the name of the Lord. None of the name given among men whereby ye might be saved. So we know that we have this opportunity. Now, if I receive the Spirit of Christ by faith, if I repent of my sins and I call on the name of the Lord Jesus, then he will give me his Spirit. See, the Bible teaches that if we repent of our sins, we're baptized in the name of the Lord, then we'll receive the Holy Ghost. So when this great Holy Spirit comes, I receive Him, then I have eternal life. Because there's no life except the Spirit. There's no life in the natural. What can carnality do? Life is a spiritual thing. And the Bible said the body without the Spirit is dead, which makes it evident that life is in the Spirit. For the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it, and the body goes into the ground. From the dust it is to the dust it returns. But when you get Christ in your spirit, then you have passed from death unto life. Because real death is the separation of your spirit from God's spirit. And when you are born of God's spirit and your spirit becomes entwined and interwoven with the spirit of Christ, you can never die after that. Because your spirit can never depart from God. For the Bible said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself inwardly, and the evil one toucheth him not. He is thus as filled with light, and light and darkness hath no fellowship, so that darkness as to intellectual, a corruption cannot even get in there to defile you. You are clean, and you are holy, and you are godly, and you are right, and you're set apart as a spiritual being. And you become a son of God, in that there's neither male nor female in the spirit. You become a son of God inwardly, as to your spirit being translated into His spirit to make you right now a son of God. So, not that we're going to become a son of God. John said, now, beloved, are we the sons of God. Not that we're going to pass over death someday. The Bible said already we are free from death. For the Bible teaches that it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. No one can escape that. But then on the other hand, it says as to you and I, as to the saints of God, that God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. And in a day accepted, succored them, which means at Calvary. So then now, Jesus said, he that heareth my words, which is spirit and life, and believeth on him that sent me, shall never come into condemnation, for there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so then, being passed from death unto life, as to the inner man, we already are sons of God. And though the world doesn't see us, because we are within the veil of this human being, and the world doesn't see us. But when I look at you, I don't know you after the flesh. The Bible said not to know any man after the flesh. It tells us that we have known Jesus after the flesh. But from henceforth, we know Him no more after the flesh. We knew Him as that which was an image of sin, our sin, sent to Calvary for our sin, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. But the Bible said, though we have known Him as that sinful image, having been made our sin, we know Him no more after the flesh. But now as the resurrected second man Adam being made a quickening spirit. And we know Him after the Spirit. So then I know you after the Spirit. I know you as to whether you have Lucifer in your heart or whether you have Christ in your heart. And if you have Christ in your heart, then you pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation because you're not in the flesh, in that when you say you, we're speaking of the inner man. The Bible speaks of the outer man and the inner man. Just getting a little bit on the spiritual side now. The inner man, that is the real you. The outer man is nothing but a shell. And then Obama calls it a shell. And it really is a shell. And the body can do nothing of itself. Everything that you do is the inward man that's doing that. It's not the outer man. When that inner man leaves, then that outer man is dead. He's motionless. He doesn't move. Like Peter said on one occasion, Peter said, and if this body be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. I have another one. If I, as the inner man, this Son of God, if I'm dwelling within the tabernacle of this body, as we say, of the first man, Adam, then if it should come that this one be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heaven, which means the body of Jesus, the second man, Adam, as to the quickening spirit, which dwells in the spirit, who's hid in the spirit of God. And God hath hid us in Christ, in the spirit. See, the heavens have received us by the works of Jesus Christ, all the malice gone, and behold, we're resurrected from the dead, going to Calvary with Him, delivered for our offenses, buried with Him in baptism, the old body of sin destroyed, and now we're resurrected to the newness of life, and we are a new creature in Christ. We are in a new world. Behold, all things have been made new to us, and now our mind and thoughts is just to love Him and walk with Him and do the things for God and to keep our mind in heaven, to meditate day and night, because we've saw the pearl of great price, and we're willing to sell all that we've got as to the natural. Because after all, Solomon said with all these things that he had gotten, he said, and with all of his great wisdom, he said, who knows but what I'll leave it to a fool. And sure enough, he did. By wisdom, I've gotten it. But he said, I may leave it to a fool. And he did leave it to a son that lost 10 tribes as to the wealth of Solomon just that quick. The Queen of Sheba came all the way from her country to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she said, I am so fascinated. Said, your servants are willing just to sit at your feet just to hear this great, wonderful wisdom that you got. And she said, and I heard about your fame, and I heard about the glory of your kingdom. Said, but her being a ruler herself, she said, the half of it wasn't told me. And now, a greater than Solomon is here, Jesus said. The great Holy Spirit is here now. And here we are listening in on heaven. And Paul said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even in the heavenly places. And you now have this heavenly treasure as this wonderful mind of God that spoke the world into existence, that created you and all things. You now have it within your earthen vessel. And now I want this life, as to this life in you, to be made manifest in your mortal genes as to the change of the glorification of the body. Well, anyway, we could go on and go on. I'm going to say a few things here and then we're going to stop. Now, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. We must reap what we sow. Look at the joy and jubilance of being the body of Jesus Christ. For if I am the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, now are you His bone and flesh, the Bible said, members in particular. If I am now the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then I will not reap what I've sown, because He was made my sin that He might reap it. At Calvary, He reaped all that I sowed, being made sin, that I might have His righteous body and that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, who was delivered for my offenses and raised again for my justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and with my heart, I believe unto righteousness, in that I believe in what He done for me, to the extent of the atonement of that fleshly sacrifice, and then His Spirit from that body comes into my heart. Because when I believe in that, God thus purifies my heart by the faith of Jesus Christ. As to my faith reaching up, taking hold of that, He purifies my heart. And then when He sees my sins gone by Jesus, in that I believed in what He said, then His Spirit comes into this cleansed area of my heart. And it takes up its abode. And the Holy Spirit is there. And I pass from death unto life, because my spirit can no more die. I've become a son of God. And though you cannot see me, I cannot see you as the flesh. Yet beyond that, the Son of God is there. And we do know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we know that they are sons of God when they pass from death unto life as to the new birth. And I travail as a minister till Christ be formed within you, that you might grow up in the full measure of the full stature, to the full understanding, to come to the full reward that God has given you in Christ Jesus, that we no longer be babes to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine as to the sly of mankind, but rather growing up into the fullness of the mind of God, that we may have the benefits of God, and that we may take the full armor of God as to the helmet of salvation, and to take the shield of faith, and to take that as to our loins being girded about with the truth, and our feet shod with the preparation of gospel, taking the sword of the Spirit, and these things, being fully clothed with these things, as to withstand the wiles of the devil in the day that we're living in. Not to give place to Satan, no, not for a moment. And he presents himself to you in the form of thoughts. And there's a continual warfare when you come into the mind of Christ. Then you see, as Paul said, another law in your members warring against the law of your mind, trying to make your inner man be brought into captivity to the outer man as to the lustful desires of the flesh. So the Bible said, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but meditate in the laws day and night, the laws of God. Withdraw from the flesh, because you're on the receding end, you're on the descent, and you're going down into the pit, and you're going down into the grave, and you're going down into the flames of the fire. So now is the time to think it over, and now is the time to make a change. The Bible said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, and in the day of the decision, the Lord Jesus is near. Call upon Him while He's near. The Bible said, seek Him while He may be found, because there's coming a time when you won't find Him. Just like the Jews, He'll turn away from you. He'll be gone, and the days of the Gentiles is on the decline right now. I wish we had time to explain the closing of the door of the Gentiles, how near it is closed right now, what it is, that you might see it very clear and very vividly through the eyes of your understanding. But saying these few things in closing here, we are now reaping what He has sown. And He sowed righteousness and all the good things that please God. And the Bible said, if we do the things that please God, then do we confident in our heart as to a faith in God, that God hears us when we pray. And if we know that He does hear us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him, because all things that pertain unto life, He said, I've given them you in Christ before the world ever was. I brought them to light and made them known at Calvary, that they might be preached to you as a benefit down through the church ages. So we know then that if He hears us, we automatically have the desire that we want of Him, whether it's healing or whether it's the blessings of life, as to all things working together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. Let's everybody stand together. It's a real privilege to come here and talk with you just a little bit. I've not raised my voice too much to shout at you because of the echo here. Sometimes preachers get kind of carried away and they kind of lift up their voice and a lot of strength, whereas the Lord told them to do that. He said, raise up your voice, lift it up like a trumpet, and show my people of their sins. He said, because though they are my people, they act as though they've done my pleasure. But He said, they have not, and they take delight in approaching unto me as to going to church. He said, as one that have done the will of God, but said they haven't. And he said, and you tell them, and you make this known to them. But being in here in this, the echo like it is, the sound, the acoustics, I tried to hold my voice at a level to where we wouldn't get a rebound and a repercussion out of it, to where it wouldn't jumble up and mumble up my words, to where you can understand. And I've tried to take my time, like Jesus when He was talking to them. He would just get in a little boat, shove out from the shore and talk with them, or have been over there. I preached on a boat right there in the Galilee, and I'm sure some of you have been there. In the Galilee, and I preached on the Mount of Beatitudes. You just sat down there and He talked to them about the wonderful words of spirit and life, saying to them that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Or that is to say, the Word was made flesh, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, as to the bone and flesh of that body that He made the Word, as to the Word of Spirit and life. So let's sing a little chorus together, can we? While we're singing this little chorus together, we sing this quite often, the altars are open. If you'd like to step out to the altar, you're welcome to come. Mm-hmm. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me? For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me like this now? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep,
Out over the wild, stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Evermore I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. And I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away, for He has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. List to the Savior and hear His loving voice, and don't turn Him away. While we're singing, the altars are open. Let's just come and stand around the altar. The first night here in Boone. And let's just come. Pray, talk with the Lord, and encourage ourselves in the Lord, asking the Lord to help us and asking the Lord to move here in Boone, that the people here might be blessed. If you are a Christian, if you love the Lord, then you must pray for the people. For Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. And if you say that you are a Christian and you do not pray for the people, then you're sinning against God. For the Bible said we're to make intercession, as in Christ's stead, beseeching the Lord that He would grant repentance to them that are without. So then this is our job, and we need to call on the name of the Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. Can you sing it with me? I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder rolls no more, till the lightning has gone forever from the sky. Guide my feet and let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm goes on by. All the things that I have and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me Remind me, oh Lord. Let's raise it up just a little. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the nails in His hands. Can you sing it with me? But He walked the road to Calvary to die in my stead. So remind me, oh Lord. You love the Lord? Let's sing another little chorus, can we? Gone and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, all the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. He's alive forevermore. Sing that with me now. For He's gone, and the stone it's rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For He's gone, all the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. He's alive. Now let's sing it like this. Oh, it's gone. The heart of stone is rolled back, gone. My fleshly tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone. All the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore. Let's sing this little chorus together. We sang the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Let's sing that together, Brother Taylor. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. For how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. While we're standing here together, let's just lift our hands up. Love the Lord. Think on the Lord Jesus for a few minutes tonight. We're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Coming to pass, ye shall call on the Lord and be saved. My, what a day. This is the greatest day in all the history of the world. Even the days of Jesus when he walked the earth was not as great as this day. For in that day it said his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. But here we are. It's a greater day because it's not God with us anymore. But it is God within us. The Bible said, and he shall be closer than a brother. A brother cannot get that close. He can get close to you, but he cannot get into you. But Jesus is in you. The Bible said he is in you, and Christ in you, the hope of that wonderful glory. For he alone was made heir to that glory. And the Bible said, everyone that hath this hope within him at the appearing of the Lord shall change into that glorious, wonderful, glorified image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even that resurrected body that lives forever, the apple of God's eye. So while we've got our hands up and our eyes closed, we're going to sing this little chorus together. We sing this quite often. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more. Let's sing it again now. For time. Remember now, Peter said, yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Even in his day, and here we are, the end of the government, the end of motherhood, the end of fatherhood, the end of everything. All these things is now coming around. See, and we know that the end of the world is now here. Everything is fallen all over the world. There's trouble, there's chaos, there's problems. The judgments of God are at hand. Revelation 10 and 7 says, and in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished. And there the angel stands with one foot on the land and one on the sea, his hand raised to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever that time should be no more. Be no more. No more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be. Once again, can we sing it? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more. Let's sing this little chorus. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Sing that with me. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, better be dressed in spotless white and be ready for the bridegroom to come. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. It's good enough for me. Better get the old time religion. Better get the old time religion. Better time religion. That's the only kind that'll do. I want that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Only kind that'll do. Give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. I've got that old-time religion. I've got that old-time religion. I've got that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. One more time now. It will take us all to glory. It will take us all to glory. It will take us all to glory. And goody. Oh, give me that old. Can you say hallelujah? Can you praise the Lord? Can you worship the Lord? The Bible teaches that God is the Spirit, and God inhabits the praise of His people, and that we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Good for Paul and Silas. Good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. Let's lift our hands together. We're going to sing this little chorus as to a praise. I trust tonight in this few minutes that something has been said that might find its way into your heart, and that you might be rooted and grounded in the wonderful things of the Lord Jesus, knowing that the end of the world is here and there's now but a short time. Then we need to utilize all of our efforts and abilities as to the potential of our understanding, whatever it might be, to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature and to do everything that we can for the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might not stand before Him empty-handed, but that we might stand in His wonderful presence being what He wants us to be. Isn't it a wonderful thought to think about living forever with all of the medical aid? Men are still dying. With all the brilliance of science, men are still dying. Even Einstein made the statement that when he crossed over, he'd communicate with them from the other side, but he never was able to communicate with them from the other side. Only the Lord and Savior who hath resurrected from the dead has been able to do that. And now we are one with Him, and we're able to enter in through that great wonderful door into the green pastures of heaven to enjoy the wonderful things of God. Let's lift our hands up and sing this little chorus together, can we? And I will praise my Lord. Can you lift your hands and close your eyes? The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. In the latter times, some shall depart from the doctrine of Christ, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And the Bible teaches that we should examine ourselves and see if we are really rooted and grounded in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of the Lord Jesus. And today, even the Bible is being changed to kill that faith of the wonderful word of spirit and life. So then we want to be sure that our faith is in the word of spirit and life. Let's sing it together again now. So I will praise my Lord. I